Hello, this is Ken Ferry with this week's Boots in the Field report. Busy week here at Crop Tech. We had our hand shelling on Tuesday and the VRT field day on Wednesday. For the Crop Tech customers that didn't catch that live, it's now up for viewing, so you can get back in there and watch that. The hand counting and shelling couldn't have went smoother. We had over 42 volunteers ranging from grade schoolers to 80 years, maybe 80 plus. We husked, counted, weighed, photoed, shelled, weighed again, over 3,500 ears. We were broke down and cleaned up by about 3 o'clock. This year, we were able to shell the corn with electric-powered shellers. We were able to buy a couple this summer at an auction, and thanks to Syngenta and Mr. Kirkbride, who brought two of theirs in to help, shelling went pretty smooth. It's a mountain of work, and it gets done in a short amount of time with all those volunteers. And it's amazing how much fun we can have when everybody's working towards the same goal. Big thanks to all our customers out there who helped to plant it, harvest it, and hand shell it, as well as the crew here at Crop Tech, especially Jared and Katie, who helped kind of ramrod the whole operation through. Every year, it's amazing how much some of these ears flex down in size when you go from planting population of 22,000 to 36,000. Some of the high populations, the ears almost fall through the sheller, and some of those low populations barely fit into the sheller. Matter of fact, we had to devise a plunger to push some of them on through. We saw some wide swings. We saw test weights from 62.7 pound test weights to as low as 52.5. Kernel girth went from 22 for a high down to a low of 12. Length, the longest ears that we saw were 48 long down to 21. Total kernels, we had a number of ears with 880 kernels, all the way down to 350. When we look at grams per ear, we had a high of 432 grams per ear and a low of 127. That's a 340% swing. Can you say tar spot? The boys will be working on that data to get it ready for the 2021 yearbook for you guys to see. One question that I've been dealing with the past 3 weeks has to deal with our end plans for next year. Several people, matter of fact, quite a few who usually don't apply anhydrous in the fall have done so this year due to pricing and the worry of potential availability. Some put all of their planned N on as NH3 and don't plan to apply anymore next year. If this is your normal program, you won't notice a difference, of course. But if your normal program was some pre-plant, some with the planter, and then maybe coming back with the side dress, prepare for a slower start in your corn crop than what you're used to. Fall anhydrous is not good at paying the carbon penalty. Most years, we don't see the fall end kick in until around V6 or V8, and that corn's about knee-high. My advice there would to stay away from those G hybrids, the ones that flex mainly in girth. They can give up 20 bushel out of the gate and you're not going to get it back. Several growers did apply about 2/3 or more of their total N. Along with the dry that they applied, they don't have much left to go on. And the question is, should we apply it in the spring or wait to the side dress and do it in the Y drop or try to split it somewhere in between? This is a little bit of a tough question because you need to pay the carbon penalty so your corn doesn't have a bad day. Corn can have a lot of bad days between emergence and V6 when the fall anhydrous starts to finally kick in when it gets caught in that carbon penalty. Our own data here in central Illinois suggests that you need a minimum of 60 pounds of N, and this is the minimum of 60 pounds of N at the surface where the corn plant is, to pay that carbon penalty in corn on beans. We need a minimum of 100 pounds in corn on corn. Now, this number does include your fall applications of your DAP and ammonium sulfate, and of course, your spring applications of weed and feed. Some growers have pulled fall dry fertilizer due to price and have all their anion as anhydrous. There we have to brace ourselves for a rough start. Here you may want to stay away from not only the G hybrids, but the L1 hybrids, those that flex in length before tassel. Anything banded with the planter, you can give it a 2x efficiency when it comes to paying that carbon penalty. So a 30-pound end application with the planter would get you a minimum of a 60-pound application met. Or if you're talking about corn on corn, a 50-pound application with the planter would meet that 100-pound minimum that we're looking for in corn on corn. And remember, that's a minimum. The fall anhydrous works more like cedrus pass as it provides N later after the corn roots grow to it. My advice, take care of the carbon penalty first. If you had any left over, then take it to the cedrus. We'll have to wait until cedrus time to know if or how much of the fall application we lost due to weather conditions. With the increase of acres of gas that went on and the amount of AMS byproduct going on here locally, and the downward pressure price is going to put on rates used, I expect liquid nitrogen could soften by cedrus when the manufacturers don't know what to do with all the product that's left in the tank. One grower who was convinced there is going to be no N available for next spring switched to all fall applied gas, then chiseled down 250 bushel corn residue. His planter is naked of any fertility, and he doesn't plan on applying any pre-plant N or dry fertilizer to his corn on corn acres. My advice is prepare yourself, farm managers, and landlords for a rough start. Your corn's going to be locked up for weeks in the carbon penalty. When it's locked up, competing with the microbes that are decomposing last year's corn stalks, it doesn't grow much. And it needs to grow roots deeper to find the end that's in your fall anhydrous to get itself out of the carbon penalty situation. Yield loss in that first 8 weeks of the season, almost impossible to get back. Again, never let corn have a bad day. Sign up for the Winter Virtual College, January 4th, continues to be good. We have growers from 22 states registered and a good number of our growers from Canada. Especially the fact that we couldn't get them in here this summer, it's kind of cool to be joining us January 4th. If you haven't got registered yet, go to our website, croptechinc.com, and click on the Virtual College tab. There you'll see a full agenda and you can get yourself registered. Keep your yield map data coming so the crew can get them ready for your yield map meeting. To stay up to date, check out our website at croptechinc.com and subscribe to our podcast, Boots in the Field Report. Keep her safe, keep her moving.